Words on Water.
Hi, welcome to Words on Water, a podcast from the Water Environment Federation. This is the host, Travis Loop, and this episode we are joined by Congressman Garrett Graves. He represents the 6th District of Louisiana. Thanks for carving out some time to talk to us.
You bet. Thank you for being here.
I thought that our audience would be really interested in hearing from you, especially because of your positions here in Congress on the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee and on the Natural Resources Committee, and including as chairman of the Subcommittee on Water Resources and the Environment, and also for your seat on Water, Power, and Oceans. So our folks are water people and care about these issues a lot. So just kind of connecting back to your home, could you tell us a little bit about your district and the importance of water resources and especially water infrastructure there?
Sure. Yeah, it's really interesting. When you go back and look, literally, our whole state was built from the Mississippi River. It's a deltaic plain. The river carried the sediment. It literally built the state of Louisiana and many other states across the United States over tens of millions of years. But now we have this curse and blessing in that the Mississippi River system there drains from Montana to Canadian provinces to New York. And it drains this huge swath of the North American continent and comes down all funneling down through Louisiana. So as you have additional development and changes in the upper portions of the watershed, often sends more water down from the north through our state. And to give an idea of what that's like, we've actually had two record water events on the Mississippi River just in the last 6-7 years. Secondly, water, that same river that drains so much of the United States and North American continent, serves as a really important conduit for maritime access. 31 states we can reach through the Mississippi River system, through South Louisiana, and so it ends up being a big part of our economy as well. And then lastly, the issue of the Gulf of Mexico and how the management of the river system and its resources have been really altered in a way that has resulted in a total loss of about 2,000 square miles of the coast of Louisiana, putting the water of the Gulf of Mexico that much closer to our coastal community. So Louisiana could not be any more involved in water, integrated in water, literally living with water.
Yeah, absolutely. So you became chairman of the House Water Resources Subcommittee earlier this year. As I mentioned, our members are really in the municipal wastewater, stormwater fields. Could you talk maybe about some of your legislative priorities or goals as chairman of that subcommittee when it comes to water infrastructure?
Sure. So as you have additional development, you obviously have additional needs for drinking water, for handling wastewater. We also have to get better at it. When I say better, I mean we have to get more efficient at cleaning it, both in the drinking and the wastewater side. We have to figure out how to do a better job complementing some of our environmental objectives and some of the things we've done in Louisiana, for example, advancing some of these assimilation projects where we're doing partially treated sewage, which obviously saves money by not doing the full treatment process, and discharging that into the wetlands where it furthers the treatment process. So you're advancing our wetlands restoration goals. You are saving money on sewage treatment, and it gives you the ability to treat larger volumes of sewage as well. And so looking at some of those win-win type projects like that, I think are really important. But something else that I think needs to be addressed is the arduous process in actually carrying out water and wastewater type projects. In many cases, the process that we go through in carrying out these projects, I think, is more expensive and more time-consuming than it really should be. And so as we look at an infrastructure package and a new water resources bill, we have an opportunity not just to step in and say, okay, what is our role as a federal government in water and wastewater projects and being a reliable partner, but also in making sure we have the most efficient project development and project delivery mechanisms to really meet the demand for increased drinking water, to meet the demand for treatment of wastewater and protecting our environment that's so important.
Yeah. That was a fascinating example about the partially treated wastewater and using the wetlands. That's really fascinating. And then I think that can show people that, oh, look at the potential of this here, and also look at how important these wetlands are, what they actually do as far as controlling water and filtering pollution and that type of thing.
And helping recharge aquifers and many other things that are really important.
So one of the kind of the news items here is you're part of this new bipartisan Congressional Infrastructure Caucus. And I think this was designed to focus on investment in the nation's outdated roads, bridges, airports, you know, water systems. Why did you decide to be part of this caucus? Why do you think it's important?
Well, first of all, in our home state of Louisiana, I think that we're decades behind where we need to be in regard to infrastructure investment. And that could be water, roads, bridges, coastal wetlands restoration, levees, just resilient infrastructure. That is something that is a similar story across the United States. And in some cases, like wastewater infrastructure investment, it's not a sexy investment. Even drinking water, it's underground. Most people don't see it. It's not a sexy investment. People prefer to step in and do things like lay additional strips of pavement. Mm-hmm. They like those ribbon cuttings and things along those lines. But the bottom line is that we are behind as a nation. We have underinvested as a nation. Mm-hmm. And in many cases, it's because of two things. Number one, we've underinvested because we have chosen to put the federal government or to involve the federal government in projects that I think don't truly have a national size, scope, benefit. And so we've taken more of a shotgun approach to the federal government. And secondly, instead of maintaining a lot of the infrastructure that really needed some operations and maintenance type investment, we instead have moved on to new, you know, bigger, brighter, shiny objects, and really lost the focus of our responsibility on operations, maintenance, repair, rehabilitation, and replacement obligations. And so we've got to play catch up at this point. We've got to play catch up by number one, I think, focusing on what are true federal objectives. Mm. Stop this shotgun approach by throwing a nickel at every $10 infrastructure problem across the United States. What are our federal objectives? What are our federal responsibilities? And let's focus on those. Let's be a reliable partner and not come in to some of these water projects and provide $5 million 1 year, be completely absent partners for 3 years, and then coming back in and giving another $1 million. We've got to be more reliable, present partners when we determine that there's a federal priority that's being advanced by some of these water resource projects. As I talked about, I think cleaning up and improving the efficiency of the project delivery, development and delivery process is really important. And then probably stepping in and doing a better job focusing infrastructure dollars across federal agencies. Right now, there are various infrastructure programs in Department of Energy, Department of Commerce, Department of Housing and Urban Development, FEMA, Corps of Engineers, Department of Transportation, just on and on. And I'm not sure we should have such a scattered approach to infrastructure in this country. And the other thing that you, when you look at the administration of these programs, there's a lot of diversity or disparity in how these programs are run. In some cases, the dollars are granted to county governments, parish governments, boroughs, and states. In other cases, it's tight-fisted federal control. And, you know, in some cases, I think that that as long as these federal objectives are being advanced, you're going to see more efficient use of dollars at state and local levels. And so I think we need to look at how we can get best return on investment, best bang for the buck, most efficient project implementation, and try and build upon those federal programs that are more successful rather than having such a scattered approach, lack of focus as we do today.
Yeah, well, I mean, one of my next questions was about kind of the, you know, a potential infrastructure bill or package. And, you know, you've alluded to changes that should happen. What do you think the prospects look like for, you know, an infrastructure legislation, and how do you think it may address some of the things you've talked about and address water infrastructure?
Well, first, I think it's important to note kind of the tone of things in Washington right now. This has been a really unfortunate year in many respects, and that I think the divisiveness that Congress is very involved in, unfortunately, has reached levels that I have never seen before in my short tenure in Congress, but also I did have a chance to staff up here, and when I was working in the private sector and for the state of Louisiana in previous jobs, I had a chance to work with members of Congress, and I've never seen anything like this. Mm-hmm. I think this divide that we have up here right now is really contributing to divisiveness in the nation. I think it's contributing to slower or more impediment-laden legislative process that we're seeing. And so fortunately, I think infrastructure is one of those areas that brings us together. I'm hoping that we can use infrastructure as a way to bring people together, to recognize that this is an opportunity for us to address roads and bridges, to address environmental challenges and priorities, to address water and wastewater systems and other things that as I indicated, have been underfunded or somewhat ignored over a few decades. Mm-hmm. And so I am optimistic that we can get an infrastructure package sometime early next year, but I will say that in the water resources space, that component of infrastructure, I am optimistic, I'm confident that we're going to move with a bill, water resources bill, one way or another, either part of a larger infrastructure package or part of a Water Resources Development Act type bill that addresses EPA and Corps of Engineers type programs. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to be ready to go on a dual track here. But I do think, going back to earlier comments, that this really is one of those areas that enjoys bipartisan support. People understand that this is something that affects every American, regardless of income, race, ethnicity, any type of classes that people try to establish. This affects absolutely mm-hmm. everyone, mm-hmm. just like the disasters that we've experienced in recent months. The water and disaster damages don't discriminate. Mm-hmm. And so this should be one of those areas, and perhaps that's the best way to say it. This should be one of those areas where we come together and we work to advance true national priorities. And I think that we have an opportunity here, building upon models that states and local governments have used, building upon financing mechanisms that the private sector has used. I think we have an opportunity here to really catch up on this decades backlog that we have right now in infrastructure investment. And we have an opportunity to really improve the efficiency of these project delivery mechanisms. And just to give you an example, we authorized a project for construction, a water resources project for construction, in December of last year. It had been in the study phase in the federal government for 42 years. Wow. I mean, those types of timelines are completely unacceptable, especially when you look at the urgency of some of these projects. So we've got to have project development delivery mechanisms that really reflect the urgency of some of the projects that we need to get done in this country.
Yeah. You mentioned EPA and water infrastructure, and I did want to kind of ask about the Water Infrastructure Finance and Innovation Act, WIFIA, which is in its early stages of implementation, and just kind of what your perspective is on WIFIA as a tool for financing water infrastructure.
Yeah. Well, as you know, WIFIA has some similarities to the State Revolving Fund. Mm-hmm. And that's a mechanism where, in some cases, there are models where P3s, public-private partnerships, have come into play to really advance some public infrastructure projects. And it's a model that I think we can build upon at the federal government. It is a low-cost or no-cost to taxpayer program in many cases that advances some really important mm-hmm. projects. And so there's no doubt in my mind that WIFIA-type financing structures are going to be a really important part of the solution. I think we need to build upon those. Again, State Revolving Fund, WIFIA-type programs, we need to build upon those, but I think we can do a better job pulling in private sector resources to help complement some of those. And, mm-hmm. and as you may know, there are some significant changes being contemplated to private activity bonds in the tax bills that we're moving right now. And so I think this is a chance for us to take a step back, to look at how we can devise tax policy, infrastructure policy, in a way that maximizes private investment. Again, going back to some of the earlier discussion we had, doing a better job defining and focusing the limited federal resources we have on true priorities, true infrastructure priorities, and then again using mechanisms like Withia to come in and complement as well. So so this isn't going to be any silver bullet type solution, I think, for financing or moving infrastructure projects forward. But I think it's going to be a number of financing components that are going to be really important, because we know, for example, the Corps of Engineers alone, there's an estimated $100 billion backlog in projects. Of course, you're familiar with the hundreds of billions of dollars in needs related to water and wastewater across the United States. Mm-hmm. So while every infrastructure problem is not going to be addressed by just throwing money at the problem, financing mechanisms and how we provide resources for these projects is going to be an important part of the solution.
My last question or two here, I really want to get to is, there's a lot of talk in our country about jobs and growing the economy. In the Infrastructure Caucus announcement, there was a quote from you in there about how investing in all these projects is really a key part of economic competitiveness and global competitiveness on the economic stage. And there's a lot of it's well documented how infrastructure projects just create jobs and give business to companies and all of that. So do you feel like your colleagues in Congress realize the economic benefits really of investing in infrastructure, and how, if there's a desire to create jobs and grow the economy, this is a great way to do that?
Well, so I'm gonna dissect this one a little bit.
All right.
So first of all, look, let's be clear. Anytime you spend money, you probably are going to end up creating jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to distinguish this from just a pork barrel spending and just spending federal dollars. If you have companies in the United States, if you have employers in the United States, job creators in the United States, they're going to be dependent upon infrastructure. And whether it's internet infrastructure, whether it is electrical infrastructure, whether it's water and wastewater infrastructure, highway, rail, port, they are going to have dependence upon infrastructure to be successful. And let's keep in mind that as this globe shrinks, you have increasing competitiveness from foreign companies, even in our small businesses here in America. And so our lack of investment in infrastructure, I think, has worked as a detriment toward American job creators. And you put on top of that our tax code that has some of the highest corporate tax rates in the industrialized world. You put on top of it its compliance with some of our regulations. It's expensive to do business in the United States. We need to address the tax competitiveness. We need to address the regulatory efficiency. But we need to address the infrastructure. We can't have companies out there saying, "Well, gosh, if I stay here in this location, or if I build in the United States, it's going to take me twice as long to get my products to the port because there's so much congestion on the interstate. Or I'm only going to be able to use water on a ration basis because we don't have enough water supply," or other types of challenges associated with lack of investment in infrastructure. So there's a misconception in Congress, in my opinion, that if you don't spend money on certain projects, that you're saving money. And that is a misconception that we've got to help correct the record on. When you make principled investments in infrastructure, it is just what I said. It is an investment. It's not pork barrel spending. It is an investment that returns, that provides return on that investment, that provides cost savings in the form of preventing future disasters. And I think you can look at some of the Flint, Michigan type water projects. People might have said, "Oh, we're gonna, and certainly not going to get all the details in that one, but we're going to cut corners and save money." When in reality, you're going to end up spending exponentially more money. Carrying out certain water, wastewater, flood protection, hurricane protection projects. Oh, we're going to save money and not build these. Let's look at Hurricane Harvey, Hurricane Irma, Hurricane Maria. I have no doubt in my mind that we're going to spend 10, 20, 30 times as much money picking up the pieces, recovering these communities, than if we would have simply built more resilient infrastructure on the front end. And so, look, I want to be clear. I don't think that funding every infrastructure project proposed across the country is what the United States government needs to be doing. Taxpayers can't afford that. Mm-hmm. But I do think as we focus on what federal priorities are in regard to infrastructure investment, as we develop the right prioritization criteria, as we develop more efficient project development and delivery models, I think you are going to see a reliable federal partner more federal financial resources available to build these projects, and you're going to see that requisite return on investment in terms of more economic activity, more cost savings for federal taxpayers, and people will be looking at these expenditures as true federal investments that are worthy of limited taxpayer resources.
Last question, which you already alluded to or mentioned there, is you talked about the recent hurricanes. And I'm just wondering your thoughts on now that there's going to have to be rebuilding, if that that rebuilding should happen in a different manner, and if there should be an emphasis on resilience, and if, you know, what role Congress plays in steering that.
Look, I've been up here for almost 3 years, and I hate to say this, but Congress, and this isn't something that's recent, it's something that unfortunately dates back several decades. Congress is a reactive body. I know, you know, growing up, my mom used to always say, it's going to take an active Congress, you know, and that's unfortunate. But we have the ability to be more agile, to be more dynamic, to be more responsive, or to actually lean forward and be proactive. I'm very happy to report that we just passed a bill out of the House Transportation Infrastructure Committee that begins that posture shift, that paradigm shift from leaning back, from being reactive to these disasters, to actually leaning forward and saying, hey, let's actually be more resilient in our infrastructure investments. Let's be more resilient in our rebuilding and recovery efforts. And so it's something I feel very strongly about and have been preaching about for years, but we're beginning to see that mindset here. You know, I'll give you an amazing statistic. When you look back just since 1980, we've had over 218 disasters that have cost over $1 billion. Wow. In total, we've spent $1.3 trillion responding to these disasters. And so it is amazing. It is absolutely amazing seeing the dollars that are being committed to disaster and resilience, to disaster response. Mm-hmm. And now, I guarantee you, if we were more principled, if we had a better prioritization system, we could have saved a significant portion of those dollars. But more importantly, we could have saved lives. We could have prevented the disruption of communities, could have prevented disruption of the economy in many of these disasters. And so it's a hard lesson to learn, but I think people are beginning to realize it as more and more people around the United States have gone through disasters in recent years. Here you have just 10% of the land area of the United States represented in coastal counties, parishes, and boroughs, but nearly 40% of the nation's population lives there. We've got to get good at resilient infrastructure investments. Mm-hmm. And so I think that the really intense hurricane year we've had this year in 2017 is going to provide a good lesson learned. And I think you are already seeing that shift from reactive to being more proactive. But unfortunately, people's memories are really short. Mm-hmm. So we've got to act while the iron's hot. We've got to make sure we get these bills, not just progress through committee, but signed into law while this is fresh on folks' minds.
Yeah. Well, Congressman, thank you so much for the time. I think that the listeners across the water sector are going to be very, very interested to hear your remarks here. They're going to be excited to hear, a member of Congress thinking this way, a lot of the way that they think, and they'll be certainly looking to see what happens in 2018. So thank you very much.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate you coming.
Words on Water.